Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities. As a child, Larry had dreams of soaring high above the clouds. After all, he was from Los Angeles, a place where people from all over the world came to follow their great big dreams and find great big success. Larry applied for the United States Air Force after high school in the hopes of becoming a fighter pilot. Gliding through the sky and zooming past the clouds were all he wanted to do. The Air Force couldn't help him, though, not with his terrible eyesight. He was rejected and eventually found work as a trucker, as well as a part-time gig at a television studio. Two jobs about as far from the sky as you can get without working on a submarine. But his boyhood dreams never really went away. He remembered a trip to a military surplus store in his teens where he saw weather balloons hanging from the ceiling, the kind meteorologists send into the atmosphere to take readings of air pressure, temperature, and humidity. They were strong, made of rubber, and meant to carry heavy loads. They would have to do. Larry and his girlfriend forged a requisition from the TV studio for 45 weather balloons and several tanks of helium, telling the vendor they were for a local commercial shoot. And well, Larry wasn't entirely lying. He would definitely be on TV by the end of all of this. It was 1982, long before the phrase going viral was attached to anything but deadly pandemics. Still, what he was about to attempt would definitely get him a slot on the 6 o'clock news. Call it a midlife crisis. Call it inspiration. That's what Larry did when he filled all 45 of his weather balloons and tied them to a metal lawn chair. He dubbed the vessel the Inspiration 1 and launched it from his home in San Pedro, California, with himself as its sole passenger, along with a BB gun, a CB radio, and a camera by his side. Each balloon measured 4 feet across when fully inflated, and together, all 45 of them carried him to an altitude of 16,000 feet in no time. Two commercial airliners noticed the makeshift craft and notified the FAA of the not-so-unidentified flying object. Only a few minutes into his trip, and he was already famous. But Larry was in a bind. The chair had risen so quickly and to such a height, he worried shooting the balloons might cause the chair to become unbalanced and spit him out. He lifted the BB gun to his shoulder and one by one popped a few balloons. The chair slowly descended with Larry holding on for dear life. 45 minutes had passed since the launch, and he was coasting his way to an easy landing when the worst thing happened. Larry lost his grip. Not on the chair, but on the BB gun. His landing gear, for lack of a better phrase, had fallen off, and now it was up to gravity and the California winds to carry him to safety. Well, safety was the first choice. The winds had another idea. As the chair floated down, the cables from the popped balloons dangled below and got caught on power lines in Long Beach. They caused a blackout across the entire town, but Larry survived and managed to climb down from his first predicament and into a brand new one. The Long Beach Police Department knew all about his little excursion, and they'd been waiting. They took him into custody for violating the Federal Aviation Act. He'd paid a fine, but since no one got hurt, he didn't face any jail time. He did, however, enjoy his 15 minutes of fame, appearing in a Timex ad and doing some motivational speaking across the country. Eventually, Larry's wild idea led others to follow in his air steps. No fewer than 5 people have attempted similar trips using balloons and deck chairs. And while Larry might not have fulfilled his dream of flying a fighter plane for the Air Force, his story did become the basis for several episodes of hit TV shows, including The A-Team and Hill Street Blues. Oh, and a major film from Disney and Pixar. Up. And let's face it, if you're looking for fame, you can't get much higher than that. There's a sequence in the 1994 film The Shawshank Redemption, where the main character, Andy Dufresne, scatters pebbles and rocks from his cell wall all over the prison yard. No one else knows what he's up to, but he's got a plan. An escape is in the works, and it's coming together piece by piece, stone by stone, over the course of 2 decades. Andy's rocky scheme was pure fiction, but in France in the late 1800s, a man named Ferdinand Chaval was executing his own plan of escape, and he left no stone unturned. Ferdinand wasn't looking to escape prison, or war, or anything like that. He fell, well, more like stumbled, into an escape from his daily life. You see, Ferdinand was a postman, delivering letters and packages in the southeast of France. One particular hectic day, he was practically running along his daily route when he tripped over something in his path. A rock. In loosening it from the earth, Ferdinand had loosened an old dream of his. He'd imagined building a palace of his own, one where he could rest after a hard day's work delivering other people's mail. The stone's serendipitous appearance and its bizarre shape had inspired him to finally put his dream into motion. That became the first of many pebbles Ferdinand collected over the next 3 decades. He'd walk his 18-mile route across the south of France, collecting stones and rocks as he went, and thought about the work that he would do on his palace. By the time he got home, the sun had disappeared, so Ferdinand set to work by the light of an oil lamp. He toiled for hours, assembling the stones into archways and walls and roofs. He poured everything into what he called La Palais Idéale, or the ideal palace. And I mean everything. Hundreds of gallons of lime, mortar, and cement, as well as thousands of stones, were all combined to create the palace. Ferdinand also paid homage to Christianity and Hinduism as well, which can clearly be seen in the finer details all around the structure. When Ferdinand finally completed the structure in 1907, at the age of 78, it measured 26 meters long and 12 meters high. Its construction was unlike anything anyone had ever seen, seemingly carved from a large mountain or having grown out of the ground like an enormous stalagmite. Ferdinand's pet project had also garnered him praise from some of the most acclaimed creators of all time, including writer André Breton and artist Pablo Picasso, who credited the DIY carpenter with founding surrealistic architecture. Naturally, at his age, Ferdinand had some ideas about how he wanted to spend his final days on Earth, whenever they might be. He was 78, after all, and what better place to be buried than within the home he built with his own two hands? But the town didn't see it that way, and they prevented him from planning his own burial within the palace. And that was all right. Ferdinand had a different idea, one that would take him much less time to complete. He got back to work with his stones and cement and lime, beginning a completely new structure set off from the house. It took him another 8 years to finish it, but he finally did, and his plan had paid off. Just a year and a half after putting the last stone into place, Ferdinand Chaval passed away. His spirit lives on in his ideal palace, which greets over 120,000 visitors each year. They can tour the structure and walk its various hallways and corridors, their mouths agape at the level of detail Ferdinand put into every corner. His body also never left. While it doesn't reside inside the house, it's not too far away. Ferdinand Chaval's remains were allowed to stay within the second structure he built, the one that took him 8 years to finish. A mausoleum, half a mile away. I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, in partnership with How Stuff Works. I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show, and you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious.